Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. How much is the Latino population growing in Pennsylvania? Well, here's an example. There are more Latino students in Lancaster, Reading, Lebanon, and Allentown school districts than any other ethnic or racial group. There are nearly a million Latinos living in Pennsylvania. Like any ethnic or racial group, they are facing challenges that include language, poverty, and health care. Two conferences provide the background for today's program on Latinos. Information gathered from the Pennsylvania Latino Conference, or convention, I should say, in Lancaster last fall, and the Latino Health Summit and Expo in York, which is scheduled for next week. Joining us on today's program is Norman Bristol Colon, chairman and founder of the Pennsylvania Latino Convention. Mr. Bristol Colon, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and thank you to the listeners. I should say buenos dias.
There you go. Also, Gloria Merrick, executive director of the Latino Hispanic American Community Center here in Harrisburg. Ms. Merrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good morning, everyone.
And George Fernandez, the CEO of the Latino Connection, and we'll be talking about healthcare in particular, but Mr. Fernandez will be weighing in on a number of topics. George Fernandez, glad to see you again.
Gracias.
You are welcome to give us a call today if you have a question about Pennsylvania's Latino community. Give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page. On Twitter, we are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. As I mentioned in the introduction, our conversation today of a lot of the information that we'll be discussing came from the Pennsylvania Latino Convention, which was in Lancaster last fall, and a lot of the information was just released last month. And also, we will be talking about healthcare and health of the Latino population with the Latino Health Summit and Expo in York next week. But Norman Bristol Colon, let's talk about this. I mean, a large population, 896,000 people, Latino people here in Pennsylvania, and in fact, many people think that's an undercount. But what did you learn overall? What did you learn from the Pennsylvania Latino Conference last year, convention in Lancaster?
Well, we learned that even when we have an almost 1 million Latinos in the Commonwealth, the voices of the Latino community have been neglected, have been ignored for way too long. When it comes to policy making, when it comes to addressing a holistic equity agenda that includes the voices of this growing community, especially because 1 million is a lot of individuals that have been moving to the Commonwealth. And when you look at Pennsylvania's Latino community for the past 30 years, it has been the community that has been growing the state population. You know, for example, in the past two decades, 50%, at least 50% of Pennsylvania's population growth accounted to the Latino community. So we are seeing a community that is growing. It's growing everywhere. We have Latinos in all of Pennsylvania's 67 counties. This is the youngest community. When you go to school districts like Reading, Allentown, and Lancaster, where 60% or more of the student population are Latinos, even when at the state level, the median age for the Latino community is about 26, when you go to communities as Reading, Lancaster, and Allentown, the median age can go as low as 17.
And something else about that age difference is you mentioned that the average age of Latinos here in Pennsylvania is 26. The average age of Pennsylvanians overall is 41. We know that we have an aging population, but when it comes to the Latino population, it is a young population. Let me start right there. What does that mean when we're talking about an age difference of 15 years? What does that mean for Pennsylvania as a whole that the Latino population is so young?
Well, one thing that we can say is that Pennsylvania's future is in Pennsylvania schools. The Latino community future is in Pennsylvania schools. That's why we have such a young community. So investments in education are vital in order for Pennsylvania's promising future to move forward, especially because we have a young Latino community that is going to take care of those that are going to be retiring. So we need to prepare them to help our senior citizens to become the doctors and the lawyers that Pennsylvania will need in the future.
And from the report, Pennsylvania doesn't have that now.
It doesn't.
And when you said earlier that the Latino population has been largely ignored, how do you ignore a million people?
Well, you know, sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes it's a decision made by politicians and decision makers to ignore a community, because it is, my community is a very humble community to some extent. And they come here to work hard, to play by the rules, and to make Pennsylvania a better place to live. So as long as they have a job, as long as they have a place to go and sleep, as long as they have a plate in their kitchen table, it is okay for them. And many times they are not engaged in the process of being involved in Pennsylvania, in all aspects of Pennsylvania life. And that's why the Pennsylvania Convention was established, to make sure that we have Latinos enjoying all aspects of Pennsylvania life, that we have a shared responsibility, but we also have a shared prosperity. And that's why including the voices of these almost 1 million Latinos is so important. Hmm.
And I want to talk about some other issues with our other panelists as well, but something that really jumped out at me when I read over the report was that lack of leadership. When 7% of the population in this state is Latino, and you're looking at nearly a million Latinos in this state, there are very few Latinos in positions of leadership, whether that's on the state level, whether it's on the school board level, whether it's almost anywhere, there are very few. In fact, you listed, now, of course, Pennsylvania has two cabinet level Latinos, Secretary of Aging and the Secretary of Health, Education. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, there are very few Latinos in positions of leadership. And what I gathered from this report is that that is very important to you.
It is very important. It is, you know, I think that the governor has sent a clear message statewide that the Latino community leadership is appreciated at the state level, and that we must do a better job when it comes to the local level. Because when you look at cabinet members and you have two Latino cabinet members in position of leadership at the state level, aging, you know, we have one of the largest senior citizen communities in the nation. And the Secretary of Aging is Robert Torres, a dear friend of mine, and he's a Latino. And then you go to education. Education has been the platform for this governor for election and re-election. And Pedro Rivera, the Secretary of Education, has been leading the Department of Education because we understand that education is the future of Pennsylvania. But then when we go to the local level, you know, the governor is doing a great job. When we go to the local level, in the Pennsylvania Senate, we have never elected a Latino senator in Pennsylvania. When it comes to the House, we only have two Latinos, and the two of them come from neighboring districts in Philadelphia. None from Lancaster, none from Allentown, none from Bethlehem, none from Reading. And then when you look at county commissioners, you know, and many will say in the political world that county commissioners are the most important elected officials when it comes to local level and county level decision making. Out of or more than 201 county commissioners in Pennsylvania, we have never in the history of Pennsylvania elected a Latino county commissioner. And then Latino mayors, as of today, we have the population, we have the numbers. We don't have a Latino mayor in Pennsylvania as of today. And then you go to city council members, once again, all politics are local. All politics is local, and we only have in the entire Commonwealth only 10 Latino city council members, which if you look at it and you go by the numbers, and we almost have 1 million Latinos in the Commonwealth, each one of them will be representing over 100,000 individuals, similar to a state representative district or even as large as some congressional district. So, you know, and when it comes to education, out of 500 school districts, we only have one Latina superintendent, who is the superintendent in the school district of Lancaster. And then chief of police, we only have one chief of police that is of Latino descent as of today in Pennsylvania, and that is the chief of police in Reading. So these numbers are alarming. I think that if we are going to emphasize in moving an equity agenda and the Latino community forward in Pennsylvania, we need to change those numbers, and we need to be engaged on leadership role and decision-making positions.
Before I go any further, let me just follow up with that. When the last thing you said, we need to be engaged. That seems to say that the Latino community needs to be engaged as well. I mean, that they have, you know, Latinos have to pursue these leadership positions.
Absolutely.
And be accepted by the other, you know, whether it's racial or other ethnic groups as well.
You know, at the beginning, I said that we have a shared prosperity and a shared responsibility. This is a shared responsibility that the Latino community must assume. To get involved, to be engaged, to be civically educated on all aspects of Pennsylvania life. And especially, you know, I was mentioning before that we live in the United States of America. This is the strongest democracy on earth. We all know that in business, in education, in anything that we do, politics is always involved. That is a fact of who we are as Americans. So for the Latino community to move forward, they need to embrace that fact and be civically engaged in all aspects of Pennsylvania life.
George Fernandez, you know, we're going to be talking about a number of issues here, and they all are important. But one in particular that we point out, because it's, there's going to be something addressing it at a summit next week in New York, is healthcare. I have to admit that as I read down through the list of some of the health challenges that are facing, and not just healthcare, health overall, some of the challenges facing the Latino community in Pennsylvania, there's some pretty big hurdles there. Talk about healthcare and why it is such a big issue amongst the Latinos here in Pennsylvania.
Scott, you've heard of the old saying, health is wealth, right? And I think that's really the forefront and the foundation of the topics and the conversations that really need to be happening. The reason why we decided to launch this second annual statewide Latino Health Summit. Last year was our first. It was held in Lancaster. This year it's in York, Pennsylvania. I think it's time. It's past due. It's been a conversation that at times becomes uncomfortable. And I believe that it's important for our community as a whole to have the uncomfortable conversations that are going to help our community progress and move forward. So when you look at the health conditions that affect Latinos, not only from liver disease, diabetes, cancer, obesity, lung health, and, you know, other leading health burdens in the community, it's extremely important that we ignite these conversations that will allow, you know, medical professionals that are currently caring for this community, you know, to bring that to the forefront and be aware that much more work needs to be done in this area. I'll give you an example. At times, this community runs into a triage nurse or a doctor who can't speak their native tongue language. We have been on the side of having to provide the translation and the interpretation service for that specific community member, that specific patient who has been administered a drug that they are actually allergic to. That's the foundation of healthcare. Are you allergic to any drugs? Right? I'm here to take care of you. I'm not going to make you worse. But language barrier tends to be, you know, that part of conversation. You then get into situations where you have the Department of Health and the Department of Human Services and other foundations and organizations that are giving out educational and outreach dollars to reach this demographic, but they're not giving out those dollars to organizations like Gloria's, right, to make that difference and reach, you know, that demographic. You're giving money to, let's just say, a Caucasian organization to reach minority population. And what are the numbers? What are the results? At times, very, 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 very low. Not acceptable. I think it's time that we start holding accountable the hospital systems and government organization and entities that are truly having these dollars from the federal, at the state, and at the local level to essentially, you know, make sure that those dollars are spent well and make sure that those dollars are reaching the communities that it needs to reach.
Something else that I took away from the report from the Pennsylvania Latino Convention is there are very few healthcare professionals who are Latinos as well. I mean, that goes back to what you were talking about with the challenge of language. How do you get more doctors, more nurse practitioners, more people in the hospitals, in the doctor's office that speak Spanish, or are Latinos themselves?
Scott, they're out there. I mean, these people are actually out there, and they're right here in our own neighborhoods and backyards. I can tell you from having worked in a healthcare company, at times you are asked to stay in your box. You are asked to not speak. You are asked to not speak as loud. You are asked to not talk as much.
Why?
Because it's something that just happens in corporate America when it comes to minorities. And that's the type of uncomfortable conversations that I think we need to be having, that Latinos as Americans, allow me to repeat it again, Latinos as Americans need to be given the opportunities that they deserve. And going back to what Norman, you know, was just recently saying, I think it's extremely important that we as a region, we as a state, become more welcoming. Okay, you have Latino students that are graduating from Temple University. You have Latino doctors and nurses that are working at Penn State Health Hershey. But they're most likely moving out of the area because our region is not welcoming enough. There's not enough oomph, really, to keep those people here. You also have, even us as a community, at times, Latinos live in silos, right? The Puerto Ricans with the Puerto Ricans, the Dominicans with the Dominicans, and so forth, right? So I think it's extremely important that not only do we educate the other ethnic minority groups and the Caucasian groups, but I think it's also important that we, as a community, also collaborate and, you know, come together to empower others to help make that difference.
You know, something you just said, and a good friend of mine I used to work with, who's Cuban, pointed out to me and a lot of other people that, many Pennsylvanians, we're talking about that Latino population, but there are Puerto Ricans. Half the population, the Latino population here in Pennsylvania, is Puerto Ricans. There are Cubans. There are people from Central America, Mexico, anywhere in Latin America. So it's not just, all Latinos are, you're all related and from the same place.
Well, Scott, one of the things that comes to mind right away when you say that is looking at the organizations and leadership. Essentially, organizations and leadership need to mirror the communities that they serve. And when you look at that demographic, you have communities such as the city of Reading, where 8 out of 10 children identify as Hispanic and Latino. And Norman, if I say any of my statistics and numbers wrong, you're really good with numbers, so please correct me. And Lancaster is 6 out of 10. Right? But the reason why Lancaster has been so successful is because the staff and the faculty mirror who they are serving in Lancaster. And, Norman's from Lancaster, and he can speak to the success that Lancaster has had in the community. But when you look at healthcare systems, when you look at healthcare companies, Latinos are not being presented with the opportunities that they truly deserve, in the sense of who is that healthcare organization or that health hospital essentially serving. Mm-hmm. I get it. At times, we may not have the master's degree. At times, we may not even have the bachelor's degree. I was once given an opportunity, Scott, that I did not deserve. I was given an opportunity to join a healthcare company at a level position that was much more than someone my age with no college degree deserved. And that was different, right? But that of itself made a true difference for the 30% of the 5.2 million members that company was serving at that time. So I think it's important that we look at a pipeline talent, right? And we look at the shortage of workforce development for Hispanics and Latinos across all areas, in the areas of healthcare and healthcare in general.
Gloria Merrick, I apologize. I'm not ignoring you.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. My cough is going away a little bit, so that's a good thing.
Gloria Merrick is the executive director of the Latino Hispanic American Community Center here in Harrisburg. A lot of what we've just discussed here in the last few minutes is kind of on a statewide basis. Yeah. What about locally? I mean, you're working here in central Pennsylvania, in Harrisburg, that you're seeing many of these challenges and opportunities that the Latino population is facing. What do you see? What are your observations? What do people need? What do they want? What are they doing?
Well, it's interesting because one of my observations and one of my takeaways from not just this conversation, but also from having attended the convention, is that the Latino Hispanic American Community Center is on the right track. We are a small Latino organization, nonprofit, right in the city of Harrisburg. We have recognized a lot of the things that have been talked about here. What have we done? We have done pretty much what Norman has just stated here, is that the community needs to become engaged. So we have created a grassroots effort within the Harrisburg community where people can come to the center, they can volunteer, they can help us make these things come to fruition. So one of the things from the youth perspective, I ran some focus groups at the center when I first started there back in 2011. It's one first thing I did. My background is in training development, designing programs, and implementation. And I remember when I took the position, and I said to Robert Torres, who was then the, who's now the Secretary of Aging, who was the president of the board of the Latino Center, I said to him, if you want me to take the front office and put it on idle pilot, I will be happy to do that. But I need to be able to take my nuggets, bring them here to the center, and help to create empowering programs that are not only going to give the individuals that come to our center a handout in terms of food, clothing, health, food, clothing, safety, and housing issues, and helping them find housing. But I need to develop programs that are going to do a lot of things, like I said, that Norman has said, such as we recognized up front from focus groups with our youth that they needed help. And we also needed to fill the leadership gap. So what we did was we created a leadership program called LISTO, not the LISTO, WITF LISTO. This is the Leadership Institute Star Training Opportunity Program. And what I thought is, in listening to the students, I was hearing three things. I was hearing from them, we want to learn about leadership. We want to become future leaders in our community, but we don't know how to do that. I also heard them saying that they wanted to be engaged in the community, but they had never done that. I also heard that they wanted to go to corporations and companies, and they wanted to be, you know, they wanted to experience from mentors and others in the organizations. They wanted to learn from them. So not only learning, having decision making, leadership development, and we do stock market, how to invest in the stock market. We do financial management, all kinds of other things in that leadership program. But we get them in front of the group. We get them to feel confident. We build their self-esteem. And that is a pipeline. We're helping to create a pipeline for future Latino leaders in our community.
What you just described probably could hold true for any young person in Pennsylvania. But is there another level of a challenge there for a Latino youngster? And youngster, I hate to use that word. It makes it sound like a 10-year-old. Young person.
Yeah. I mean, we can do, our program is for high school level students. And what we need to do is we need to fill that other gap, which I think that both Norman and
George
touched on. And that is that, you know, college education, career pathways. Once we can help them all we can in high school, but they need to find out, they need to have resources that are going to help them get into college. They need to know that they have the potential to get into college. I was doing a session once at one of the local schools, and it was a high school, and one of the students said to me, I asked the student, what is your GPA? And the student said to me, what is a GPA? Okay, so How do we get these kids in the pipeline to go to college when they don't even know what a GPA is? So we have a lot of work to do in making that transition from high school to college and helping the youth understand what are all the resources out there available to them so that they can pursue that future direction and achieve that ultimate goal. Another thing that we've done is we've connected with some of the local colleges. We are, I like to say, like an incubator for learning. So we, a lot of, like right now I have two Messiah students. I just had two Elizabethtown College students. We're like a study abroad for some of the high school, from the college students. So what we're trying to do is bring back some of our Latino students that we have that are in college and bringing them back and helping to, you know, close that gap, that transitional gap with our youth, and telling them, okay, here's what I went through. Here's what you have to do. So we use, even the Latino youth in the colleges are coming back and serving as mentors for the high school students. And there's a lot of other things that we can do. But, you know, I just feel like, and then the other thing on healthcare, we also, one of the other programs, I ran focus groups with our seniors in the community. I found there are a lot of shut-ins in the community. We need to do something for our seniors. Again, getting back to the quality of life, health and wellness, and, you know, helping bring their dreams to fruition, because seniors have dreams too. They don't just end, they have dreams. And if you come to our center and you meet with the seniors, we're the only bilingual senior program in the entire region. So when you come to our senior program, which is recreation, health and wellness, and education, when you come to our senior program, you will be amazed. We have workshops on all those topics that George mentioned, diabetes, food and nutrition, and so forth. And we have outbound excursions for them. We wrap them into, you know, what's going on in the community. And so it's so important that we don't wait. I mean, saying that we need to change all these policies, we need to do all these things is one thing, but we can't wait. So community centers, I challenge them to rise to the occasion, start doing these things at the grassroots level, so that somewhere there will be a gap between, you know, up here and, you know, what the policy making and the boots on the ground. But we can begin to close that gap by doing what we can in the communities.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. We are in the midst of WITF spring fundraising campaign. I'm joined by Brad Delzer, WITF. Brad, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Scott. It is our spring fundraising campaign, and we are here asking you, the listener of WITF, to support this station that you value, that brings you really thoughtful, intelligent, respectful conversations like the one you're hearing right now on Smart Talk. It's an incredible amount of diverse voices that we bring into the studio day in, day out, bringing you interesting, thoughtful, challenging conversations from across our region. We're both challenging and championing our region, asking us to think deeply about the challenges that we face as communities. And if that's the kind of programming that you value on WITF and on WITF Smart Talk, we're asking you to become a member, make a contribution, put some sort of dollar amount that's meaningful to you on that type of programming. You can do that at WITF.org/givenow, or you can give us a call at 1-800-233-9483.
With that diversity you just talked about, Brad, let's face it, just from more conversation here, we can hear that central Pennsylvania overall is, we have a more diverse population. And other than the Spanish language media that is growing, is popping up here in Pennsylvania, there are very few places where you could have this conversation. And I hope that our listeners do appreciate it, that we know that WITF listeners, Smart Talk listeners, are very curious, want to learn about what's happening in Pennsylvania, happening in their own communities. And today's Smart Talk is a good example of some of the changes that are occurring. And again, don't want to make it sound like we're the only ones to do this, but we are one of the few that will have this conversation.
And really make it, and really make it a priority for the type of programming that we bring in.
And we just ask that if that is the kind of thing that you appreciate, that you support us, we come to you just a few times a year asking you to support WITF. We have a goal of raising $1,000 during Smart Talk. And Brad, I'm always proud because the Smart Talk listeners always come through.
They absolutely
during
do.
During our fundraising campaigns. But we're asking you to go to WITF.org or call 1-800-233-9483. And by the way, that's a different number than our Smart Talk number, so it's a 1-800-233-9483. Brad, I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
No, that's okay. Like, our public radio members are diverse like our community. We come from all kinds of backgrounds and belief systems, and the one thing that unites us is this appreciation of quality journalism and thoughtful conversations that are informative, they're researched, they're fact-based, they're dependable. We're asking you, the listener, to join the thousands of people of every creed who support public radio. Support us with a contribution of any amount, whether you're joining our sustaining circle at $5 a month or $10 a month. You want to become a member of our premier circle at $100 a month. Get special invitations to some cool events that we put on at WITF. You're making a one-time contribution of $120, whatever amount is right for you, that's meaningful for you. Do that today. Go to WITF.org/givenow or give us a call at 1-800-233-9483.
One thing I think we should mention, Brad, and that is the pint glass.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I know there are Smart Talk listeners who would like to have one of those pint glasses.
Yeah, they sure would. They would like to have their public radio nerd pint glass. I mean, it's a little early in the day to be talking about pint glasses, but
you can drink anything out of a pint glass.
Milk, chocolate milk, and some orange juice. You can do that. You can get that thank you gift for a contribution of $10 a month. Become a member, WITF.org, or give us a call, 1-800-233-9483. Ask for that pint glass, or if you want all of your contribution to go to WITF, you can do that as well. And thank you so much.
Brad, thank you very much. And we'll be talking again in a few minutes. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the Latinos in population, in Pennsylvania, the fastest growing ethnic group in Pennsylvania. And about 896,000 people officially is what we're told by the Census Bureau. There are some suspicions that that number is undercounted, but say close to 1 million Latinos here in population in Pennsylvania, talking about the different issues and challenges that Latinos are facing. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Our guest today, George Fernandez, CEO of the Latino Connection. Gloria Merrick, Executive Director of the Latino Hispanic American Community Center in Harrisburg. And Norman Bristol Colon, Chairman and Founder of the Pennsylvania Latino Convention. 1-800-729-7532. I want to go down through the list of the issues that came out of the Pennsylvania Latino Convention last fall in Lancaster, identified as some of the most important issues facing Latino. And I'll just read through the list and we can talk about them one by one or as many as we can get to. Poverty, education, post-secondary education, housing, responsible economic development in Latino communities, workforce development, health and mental health, immigration, civil rights, leadership, which we've touched on, and the media. Those are all education. Those are all issues, I should say, that were identified from the convention. Norman Bristol Colon, is there any one that stands out, or are these to be taken all together?
Well, I believe that all of them needs to be taken all together. However, I would emphasize on poverty. You know, when you have a Latino community of Pennsylvania that is the poorest of the poor.
How poor? I mean, when I say how poor, percentage-wise.
You know, according to some, about 29% of the Latino community in Pennsylvania is poor. That is a huge number.
The number is higher for those under 18, correct?
Much higher. And then when you go to households led by single mothers, that is the poorest of the poor, and especially in the Latino community. So poverty, in order for us to improve the living and social conditions of the Latino community of Pennsylvania, we need to go to the root of the problem. And poverty is the number one issue facing the Latino community. You know, we have in the richest nation on earth, which is the United States of America, and Pennsylvania is a rich state, we have one in six Latino that households that have at least one person going hungry at some point during the year. You know, and that's something that we can, that we can work on. As a moral imperative, you know, when you look at the pay equity, for example, when women are making less than men, that is a fact. And that's why we need to create the venue to establish a pay equity in Pennsylvania. But when it comes to individuals of color, when it comes to even women of color, women of color makes much less than any other individual. And that's why you see poverty concentrated in mainly Latino communities. So it is a moral imperative that we increase the minimum wage, that we pay close attention to pay equity, but that also includes those individuals of color, that this is not only gender, but it's racial and ethnic, and that we need to address that issue in order for us to combat poverty. When we look at school districts, for example, you know that the poorest districts, the districts that are facing the biggest challenges, the old school buildings, they are concentrated in mainly Latino communities and African American communities across the Commonwealth. And that's why, you know, even when George said that Reading is not doing so well as Lancaster, if you go to Reading, you see the concentrated poverty in those areas where the Latino community live today.
Redding has one of the largest Latino communities or populations in the state, also has the largest student population in the state. Over 80% of the students in the Redding School District are Latino. George, follow up on that a little bit, what Norman was saying. Poverty, how do you get out of poverty? And again, I mean, this is a question that's been asked forever because there's always been poor people, but when you're talking about a population that is fairly new to Pennsylvania when you think about the last 50 years, how do you get out of poverty?
What's concerning, Scott, is that those numbers are only increasing. but the question really is, why is Pennsylvania a place that Latinos are migrating to, right? So you look at nearby states such as New York and New Jersey, where the cost of living is very high, wages at times are very low. You have bodega owners that are moving to the 222 corridor, you know, which is Allentown, Bethlehem, all the way down into York and Franklin, Adams County.
Can I interrupt for just one second? That 222 corridor is the cities that you named have some of the largest Latino populations in the state. Norman, I know that one of the reasons that you had the convention in Lancaster last year, not only does Lancaster have a large Latino population, but it's part of that 222 corridor. Reading, obviously,
right.
Part of that 222 car. Sorry about interrupting.
No, it's okay. And you know, and I think it's extremely important that we highlight that those numbers are only going to increase. So that's why it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed now. This has been an ongoing conversation for several many years. And you know, how do you combat poverty? It's really through education. I am a true believer in what Norman and Gloria have recently concurred in the past few minutes, that I believe every opportunity begins with education. That is the foundation of being able to grow within. Education is something that can't be taken away from you, right? So I believe that it is time for corporate organizations and local universities and colleges to look at potentially creating unique programs that are reaching that population, that are reaching those communities. We need to mold our talent. We need to build our talent. Latinos are living here, okay? They live here, they learn here, they work, they pray, they play here in Pennsylvania. But that talent is moving out of Pennsylvania because we're not creating enough opportunities. So I encourage, you know, the listeners who are in some form of human resource position or executive position to look at something that's not the norm, to look outside the box, to look at what is equity versus equality, right? And it, going back to that health is wealth, right? I think it starts right there. And, you know, I'm driven to hold these healthcare organizations accountable as we move forward toward, you know, towards health equity for Latino Americans in PA. And at times, the conversations are uncomfortable. But on a positive note, we are seeing things progressing.
Mm-hmm. I have a call here from Gretchen in Hershey. Gretchen, you're on the air. Go right ahead. Thank you very much for your call. It's good that we had someone come in and call in and just talk mm-hmm. about what is available out there. But Gloria, this is the kind of thing that it sounds as if people need to know, Latinos need to know that there are these resources right. available.
Yeah, exactly. And thank you for that call. The center, the checkup center she mentioned, is actually just about 3 or 4 blocks from our Latino center. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because we have a lot of individuals that come to our center looking for that service, and they don't realize that it's right down the street from them. Hamilton Health Center is on 17th Street. We're on 13th Street. They're down from us on 13th Checkup Center. And so there are a lot of other community resources, and that is what we do at the Latino Center. We do intake, referral, and outreach, and we connect individuals to these resources. We don't do everything at the Latino Center, but she's correct. A lot of people do not know that these resources are available, and we need to do a better job of communicating this. So thank you again, and very important point.
Well, and I should mention that, you know, since we can be heard in more than 18 counties today in Pennsylvania, that these kind of Hispanic or Latino American community centers like yours mm-hmm. exist in almost all the communities in our listening area, and especially when we're talking about this large Latino population mm-hmm. in York, in Lancaster, in Lebanon, mm-hmm. In Reading, all those places. What were we going to say, George?
You know, a lot of what Gloria is saying, it kind of resonates with me as to looking at what's the new term that many organizations and even the Department of Health and Department of Human Services at the state are calling it, the social determinants of health, right? And really looking at a spectrum of a different way of service, of really meeting people where they are, right? Latino Connection last year partnered with Aetna and Aetna Better Health to create this really cool mobile health and wellness unit called CORA. And CORA is short for the word cortisone, which means heart in Spanish. And the entire purpose of this health and wellness mobile unit was to really meet people where they are and go into communities where folks don't have a car, where folks can't get to the doctor, where folks can't get to a center.
Transportation's an issue.
Right. Transportation's a huge issue. So what are we doing? We're just talking, Scott. We need to start walking our talk, mm-hmm. right? So I'm fortunate that we partnered with a company like Aetna that created this huge mobile unit that drove 122,000 miles, gave out 22,000 smoothie samples, gave out 11,500 BMIs, right? I think it's time that companies step up and walk their talk, organizations step up and support the Hispanic Center, and, you know, looking at the politics, that people step up and really start making a difference. I believe it is time. The time is now. It is time to start walking the talk.
Norman, a couple other things in our last few minutes I want to be able to touch on. Poverty, you said that probably is the issue that has to be dealt with as a priority. But getting out of poverty, jobs, working, workforce development, and I also want to say that even this is, these two are not related, but it does have to do with housing. And one is responsible economic development in Latino communities. But let's start with workforce development. I mean, again, this is an issue for anyone mm-hmm. here in Pennsylvania. What in particular makes it unique in the Latino community?
Well, by the year 2024, one in five workers in the United States will be Latino. And then when you see that Latino will represent more than 75% of the labor force growth in the next year, then we need to invest in workforce development in the Latino community. You know, we don't have policies and programs to boost Latino employment. We don't have opportunities in York for Latino workforce development, for example. So we need a strategic alliance and a strategic investment in adult education program for Latino barrios, for Latino neighborhoods.
I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know whether you can answer it or not. Right now, the economy is booming. We have unemployment rates overall, which are as low as they have been in 20 years. What about in the Latino community?
Well, we don't have the clear number of what is the unemployment rate in the Latino community. What I can tell you is that the highest unemployment rates for any ethnic group that we have in Pennsylvania and across the nation is Latino.
Why?
Maybe the opportunities are not there.
Language barriers, the neglect.
But also, let's not only look at unemployment, underemployment. You know, because for corporations, it's easier, it's better, it's more, you know, money making for them if they underemploy a community. So the underemployment is, I'm going to give you a job. You're only going to work 20 hours a week, expecting for you to do the work of 40 hours a week person, but I'm going to pay you 20 hours a week, no insurance, no health care, 10% hour. And then, you know, those are the challenges that we are facing in the Latino community.
That's happening, again, across all ethnic and racial groups. Yes. Is it happening more with Latinos?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the numbers are there. You know, and we need to make sure that when we are talking about workforce development, whether it is from the Department of Labor and Industry or at the local level, when we're investing in community colleges, when we're investing in SACA development, for example, in Lancaster, that the voices of the Latino community are included there. Because this is a community that really need the help and the assistance when it comes to workforce development. When it comes to the responsible economic development in Latino communities, you know, you see places like Lancaster, for example, that we, you know, when Governor Rendell was in office, there was a huge investment of over $1 billion in downtown Lancaster. But it was in downtown we forgot.
That's almost any place, right?
And that is almost any place. You know, it's happening in Reading, it's happening in Allentown, but then we forgot to invest in the neighborhoods. And in the neighborhoods is where we have the Latino community, the African-American community, or poor communities in general. And that's where we have been neglecting in those investments. So we're asking that if you're going to have any investments in places like York, Lancaster, Lebanon, Reading, Allentown, where the Latino community is so big, that you do it in a responsible way, that you invest in neighborhoods, that you redesign transportation, that you invest in colleges and universities that are close to those individuals that do not have what means to get there.
Mm-hmm. We only have about 2 minutes left, and there are a lot of issues here, as I mentioned. Housing in particular, I didn't want to leave before we touched on housing. I mean, there are a lot of people who say, well, why aren't you talking to immigration? Immigration, obviously, we've done whole shows on immigration, and Pennsylvania is not in the position that, say, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, the border states are with Mexico and with Central Americans coming up. But housing, how much of an issue is this for Latinos in Pennsylvania?
It's you know, huge. When only 39% of Latinos own a home, that is an issue. Because then we have 61% of individuals that are renters and that they don't own a piece of that American dream right here in Pennsylvania. So that is a big challenge.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there are programs out there that, you know, are available to reach this community, this demographic, but I don't believe that they are being marketed or, you know, shared with the respective communities. And, you know, I'm really happy that these types of conversations are happening on at organizations like WITS and Smart Talk. So thank you for having us, Scott. But, you know, looking at the demographic of the growing Latino and Hispanic American demographic in Pennsylvania, the numbers are only going to grow, right? So I think the time is now. Norman said, Latinos need to be a part of the conversation. At times, we are a part of the conversation. At times, we bring our opinion to the table. At times, we bring data and numbers to the table. However, we're not progressing. We're not creating action, you know, with what's being said at the table.
A lot to talk about, and we have such a short time. I want to thank all three of you for being with us today. Norman Bristol Colon, Chairman and Founder of the Pennsylvania Latino Convention. Gloria Merrick, Executive Director of the Latino Hispanic American Community Center in Harrisburg. And George Fernandez, CEO of the Latino Connection. George, by the way, when's the summit?
The second annual statewide Latino Health Summit will be held next week, April 17th and 18th at the York Memorial Hall at the York Expo Center. Really, really excited to have people come out and visit. It's going to be a phenomenal event.
A lot of vendors there.
Yes, over 100 vendors, live and immersive experiences. Aetna's going to be doing a mindfulness room, and everybody gets a free yoga mat, free complimentary breakfast and lunch for everyone to come out. So we're really, really excited for the event next week.
Thank all three of you for being with us today and the work that you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk and WITF's spring fundraising campaign. And I'm joined by Brad Delzer. Brad, lots of passion during that show.
What a great conversation, and what a great example of the work that you do on Smart Talk and that Smart Talk does for our community, bringing a really amazing set of diverse voices into our community, sparking intense, passionate conversation and being a great service for this community. And this is the time of year that we ask our listeners to become members and support that type of programming, stuff like that you just heard on Smart Talk. And you can do that at WITF.org or giving us a call at 1-800-233-9483. And I know during the last break, Scott, you said Smart Talk listeners always step up, and they do. We have a lot of people to thank. We want to thank Betsy in York and Kristen in Kirkwood, Joseph in Carlisle, Charles in Glenville, Edwin, Emily, and Laura all in Lancaster, Teresa in Chambersburg, and Marianne in Lancaster. Thank you for becoming members. Thank you for stepping up and make a contribution. And if you're on the fence, we do have a great opportunity for you. I was just handed this after the last break. Our member of our WITF Board of Directors is asking people to make their gift of support right now. And in response, this generous donor and board member will match all contributions of $100 or more, dollar for dollar. That's how important WITF programming is to them, and that's important that they want, and so important they want you to know it right now and show how much you value Smart Talk. So you can make your contribution and have it match dollar for dollar your contribution of $100 or more. Do that at WITF.org/givenow or give us a call, 1-800-233-9483.
I also want to welcome James, Elise, and William. Elise and James from Lancaster, William from Camp Hill, to the WITF family. Thank you very much for your support. Again, I have to mention that the Smart Talk listeners always come through. We have a $1,000 goal, and we're a few hundred dollars away from that. So let's get to that goal by the end of the program here in just the next few minutes. 1-800-233-9483. You know, I like to think of this as Smart Talk, and really what WITF does all the time is kind of a town hall meeting, a community meeting where people, the people who are listening to WITF and Smart Talk come together and talk about the issues most important. Brad Delzer, thank you very much for doing it. You can donate to WITF by going to WITF.org/givenow or call 1-800-233-9483. Coming up tomorrow, we'll be talking about healthy eating. Not something that we talk about very often, but something we all should be doing. That's on tomorrow's Smart Talk.